Hey, queers or allies, or those who are about to be allies. This is Bo Bradley from BMG. My pronouns are they, them, theirs, and he, him, his. And you are listening to episode 45 of the original Oh My God podcast, the show where queer meets world. We are officially in season 4, which is unreal. For those who are listening for the very first time today, Oh My God is a unique space for trans and gender nonconforming individuals and their allies to rumble about things that are going on in our community, all things queer, what it's like to exist in a world that generally doesn't understand us. And on today's episode, we will be talking with very special returning guest Eric Shaw, who is a 31-year-old trans man living in Los Angeles with his partner Amanda and Chihuahua Ollie. He currently works for a cannabis software company, enjoys cycling, reading about gender and spirituality, and ice hockey. Also tacos, as we found out just a few weeks ago. Eric's pronouns are he, him, his, and today we're going to be briefly touching on the end of season 3, what we both took out of it, and then we get real and both open up talking about how much more we know ourselves now than we did when we were roommates a decade ago, and how all of this connects all the way back to our inner children. So, Eric, thank you so much for being here. I'm beyond excited to be recording another conversation with you.
Happy to be here.
Last season, when you also joined us, Oh My God shared 15 episodes total between March and December of 2022, covering topics such as traveling while non-binary, the overturnment of Roe v. Wade in the U.S., aging with pride, the unjust capture and trial of Olympic gold medalist Brittany Griner, growing up in a religious household as a queer person, the Trace app and navigating social media as a trans person, and Compete Sports Diversity and their winter membership conference and 13th annual PD Awards, and more. That's just some of it. Talked about a lot of things. We spoke with trans folks far and wide, including Aiden Dowling, Marty Noel Chen-Yao, Alina Eckley, and the one and only Eric Shaw, and even more gender diverse and queer folks like Stephen Nip, Inara Luke, Rose Bradley, Andy Ramirez, and our very dear friend and ally, Treyer Martinez. So now I'm going to share a few impactful clips from last season for us all to reflect and take in. So here they are. And like setting boundaries is so hard with anyone, but I feel like with your parents, it's like especially difficult, at least.
Yeah, no, it really is. And like, I've had to go to intensive therapy in order to understand those boundaries, because I feel like for the most part, I'm still stuck in that like honor thy mother, honor thy father headspace. And I feel like I want to make them proud so bad that I've like chipped away little pieces of myself. And so probably within the most recent year, I've learned that boundaries are okay and how to set them, because for the most part, I never did. And,
you know, I always was able to, I always felt like there was this really intrinsic need to be able to look back on where I've come. I think both now that I'm like 10 years post, being able to look back and be like, wow, like look at all this growth. And also in that moment to look at like month 6 compared to month 9, because you just want to get somewhere so quickly. And it's hard when you're looking at yourself every day. You're like, I haven't changed at all. What is this even doing? And then, you know, you look and you're like, oh, actually I look pretty different than I did, you know, 6 months ago. And so like being able to document has always been important to me. And I've always used multiple ways to do so.
When I first started telling people about this, I was like, oh, all these like fictional stories at least are set in a world where, you know, transphobia, homophobia, like don't exist. But I don't think it's necessarily about that. It's kind of like it exists in a way that, you know, like all sorts of nasty stuff exists in every world. But it's just not like the center of these characters' worlds at all. It's not something they actively think about. And when I think about, you know, what I want the world to be, like this is the world I want to live in, essentially. And so it's just like these characters living out their lives as queer people in a world where queerness is just kind of another thing. You know, it's not like special or normal.
Because it was such like a straight cis space, like my gaydar was on high alert. Like the slightest anything that anyone did, I was like, I wonder, I bet they're fucking gay. Some sort, some color of queer, like absolutely in here?
It was awesome. It was a whole new world for me. You know, I had an LGBTQ plus cousin that, you know, actually came out to me first. I was the first family member that they had come out to, and they had told me that it was because they thought I would be the toughest family member. And so, I figured that at that point in time, I needed to kind of figure out a way to support not only my cousin, but future generations of LGBTQ plus individuals. I've obviously been an athlete my entire life. I played basketball, I played football, I ran track, wrestled. I mean, you name it, I was kind of on the playing field. And I didn't ever understand or recognize that there were so many different like disparities in sports for marginalized communities. And so I decided when coming aboard compete that it was important for me to use my voice to uplift others and to walk behind and support communities that need support in the sports space. As an athlete and as a previous team captain, you know, your goal is always to win and to have fun, and sports just brings people together. And so creating a space that everybody feels welcome is something that I've definitely been very proud of and very passionate about for the past 3 years, for sure.
Eric, I would love to get your reflections and takeaways and or takeaways from last season. Anything you'd like to share about being on the podcast or listening to the podcast or any of the folks we just heard from?
I think, one, it's super cool that, and we talked about this a little bit when we met up, that you had like Aiden Dowling on the podcast. I think that is huge. Just because of like who he is and like who, like what he means to like the trans mass community specifically. Like, and yeah, I'm just gonna recap for everybody what we had talked about, I guess.
No, let's do it.
But like, I don't know, like him specifically, like he was the first like trans guy that like I started like religiously following on like social media and like watching goofball like YouTube videos about, you know, just whatever he posted. And this was before I even like considered that I was trans. So yeah, I think that's really cool that he was on this podcast for sure.
Yeah, it feels really cool to have so in all honesty, the very first season of this podcast, the first trans person that I sat down and talked to and recorded it, I was a nervous wreck. To me, I was like, yeah, oh my God, I'm meeting a trans person. I'm like meeting someone for the first time. And I like, how do I, and I was very nervous about it. And now I'm like, wow, that's hysterical. Cause that's like,
what? Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like, well, cause that's just it. Like, even I'm trying to think, I mean, like, even though like, yeah, like I live in Los Angeles, like, and there are queer people just everywhere. I don't think that, like, I think I would be nervous, like, someone that, like, I've never, like, met before. Like, obviously, like, we knew each other before. So, like, I was like, oh my God, Bo, like, yeah, whatever, you know?
We literally live together.
Yeah.
I feel like we've done each other's laundry.
Yes. Yes. Done many, many household things together. But, yeah, like even, I mean, like obviously like I live out here, very like exposed, and like have probably talked to numerous trans people without even really knowing, just living out here.
Yeah.
If it was like, oh, let's sit down and have a conversation about it, I'd be like, you know, like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It can be really like, nerve-wracking.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially like, I don't know, I feel like I'm just kind of like bit bopping through this whole trans thing, and I'm like, I am not, and maybe this is like, I don't really know why I'm not more like, I don't want to say like into it, but I'm not like, I don't know, like I didn't make the big like coming out thing on social media. I'm just like living my life. I'm not super, I hate to say this because I feel like I should be more involved, but I'm just like,
I don't think you can shed yourself. I won't let you shed yourself. Yeah. I'll rephrase.
Yeah, you know, because like I obviously like have like my thoughts and opinions about like everything that's affecting our community and like care a lot, but I'm not like a social media presence, I guess. And I think that like most of trans people that like I've encountered out here like are social media people, you know, like content creators and such.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's like a whole different experience, I feel like, being someone who has like a platform versus like someone who's just like trying to get by like myself, like, you know. Yeah, so meeting trans people in real life, especially out here, is, I don't know, makes me pee my pants a little bit, but
it's also, I feel like, I think it's almost like when you get a new car, when you're like looking at a new car, like now that it's in your mind, you see it everywhere. So it's, yeah, like now I feel like when I'm out and about, I'm like, oh, that person might be trans or that person might be queer in some way. And like, I'm not trying to like suss them out or do anything. It's just like, right, I just, yeah, notice more.
Yeah. Cause like, you know, your own kind, you know, like,
yeah,
it's, when I was working at Trader Joe's, like, I mean, because first of all, it's Trader Joe's. And second, it's like Los Angeles. So like, you know, you know, all the queers go.
Oh, yeah.
So like,
it's like,
know,
a beacon.
Like, yeah. Like to like make the time pass by, you know, obviously I'm going to people watch because that's,
yeah,
what else am I going to do?
Especially like, at Trader Joe's.
Especially at Trader Joe's, right? Yeah, I would do the same thing, you know, not necessarily like clock people, but just be like, oh, that person's queer. Oh, that person's queer too. Yeah. That person's trans and queer. Look at that. Yeah. Like, you
know, it kind of makes, like, the environment feel a little safer.
It does. It absolutely, yeah, does. Yeah. That's why visibility is so important.
Yes. Yep. And that's
circle.
I'm really glad you said that because that's exactly what I was going to say to you. I think just by existing and being yourself in life, I feel like you're doing more than, like, I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, that's, that in itself is a radical act. So,
yes,
unfortunately.
Yeah. 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 God. What a time. What a time.
Yes. So there's a few things I'm taking away from season three, and some of them are more personal and some of them are more actually related to like the things we talked about. And I think the biggest one for me personally is just, I learned a lot about my own strengths and weaknesses in doing a podcast and in my process. And I spent a lot of time last season and in the last few months that I've been not like in this off season, I guess we can call it, just kind of figuring out that efficiency and that like streamlining of my process and how to replicate it and how to make it something that's sustainable. And so that I'm really excited to like try out this new format for this season and try some new things. I know I, going back again to social media, I view Instagram very much as like a task of a, and a way for me to share whatever I'm sharing on this podcast or whatever connects to the podcast. And so I don't always look at it as like an escape from the world or like a fun place to go and like look at things as much as I used to. And so,
yeah.
So having stuff there and realizing what was really drawing people in and what wasn't. And it seems like trivia is a huge hit. And I didn't even like ever think about that before. So now we're going to have trivia in every episode. So like, I'm excited for things like that and to see how that translates. And yeah. And then another thing. So that's a, like, personal reflection, like things I can do better. Then, you know, I have to like be hard on myself a little bit before I can say good things. I don't know if that's healthy.
I don't think it's healthy. But. Oh,
but anyway, so why is it so hard for me to say good things? Like, anyway.
Dude, it's hard for everyone. Well, I mean, I don't know. I think specifically like trans people and queer people to like say good things about themselves because we've never like, I don't know, nobody ever said any good things about us. So it's not like.
That's accurate.
Yeah, no.
Sad but true.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of my favorite things about last season really was speaking with Stephen Knipp. And talking with, so he is the executive director of Gem Pride, which is a nonprofit here in Seattle that kind of has different programs and opportunities for queer elders to network and do things together. They do like cooking classes online during COVID and they'll go and have activities together, or a bunch of them got together and did writing classes and then they published a book together. And it's a phenomenal book. It's like filled with life lessons. I love it. I have it sitting. It's called Unmuted: Stories of Courage and Resilience from the Gem Pride Community. And Stephen actually wrote one of the chapters in here. Each chapter is written by a different person and it's kind of like a reflection on their own stories. Oh, and nice. I just, I feel like it's the first time I really had an opportunity to kind of sit down with someone who is an elder in our community and sit down and talk about like his experiences and why he gives back to his community and how he came to be in the situation he's in. And it just hit different, I guess.
Dude, yeah. Yeah. I remember, well, one, like, I would love to like sit down with an older trans person, like, and just chit chat and be like, dude, like, it's so crazy, right? Because like, things are like obviously like not great now, and like we know that and we get it, but like imagine being in like the 70s and like transitioning, like that must have been atrocious, like, yeah, nearly impossible, but like people still did it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that like now kind of like more than ever we need to be looking to our elders and being like, hey, like you guys didn't have it fucking easy, and like looks like we're not having an easy time either. Like,
yeah,
you know. And I think that like older people in our community are like, most older people in America are just like so looked over and like kind of pushed to the side, but like those are the people that really made everything that we're doing possible, and like for us to just not listen to them or just to push them to the side and be like, oh well, like you're old, like I don't care what you say or whatever, like that's just the most messed up thing. And like I don't know, man, that for whatever reason that like touches me. I'm like, no, like, yeah, you think that we have it bad, and like don't get me wrong, we don't have it easy, but like, you know, like I remember I was like on TikTok or something, it was like, you know, books for trans people or something ridiculous. So like
I don't know what any of us did before TikTok. I'm just gonna say,
I don't know. I have no idea what I did.
The like little crevices you can get into of like, yeah, very specific, like it's not even a niche. It's like smaller than that.
Yeah. It's a crumb. It's a crumb of a corner that like you just find. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
But no, you're good. No worries, because that's correct. Like, yeah. I have no idea what we did beforehand. But what's it called? Stone Butch Blues. Have you read that?
No, I'm writing this down.
Oh my God. Okay, dude. It's literally like, I love, 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 love that book. And I feel like at this point, like, I don't know, maybe it's like cliche to say that I love that book, but like, it's really good. Leslie Feinberg, okay, I believe, was their name. But if you go to their website, like lesliefeinberg.com or something like that, it's free. It's a PDF.
Oh,
so you don't have to buy it. It's a free book. Yeah. It's really good. It's about a trans person in, oh God, I don't even honestly, like, I'm really bad with like what decade this was, but it was a long time ago. And like coming to terms with their identity and their sexuality and like their gender identity. And I'm doing a really bad job at explaining this book, but it's really,
you're not, you're not at all. I really don't think so.
But about like getting top surgery in like the 80s and like how, like just how all that went down and like getting raided by the cops, like because they were in like gay bars and they were illegal and just like cross dressing and like, it's just like the absolute trauma that like ensued by being queer in these like earlier days. It's just, I don't know, it really just puts things into perspective and like helped me come to terms with like the on take of just being trans and like being visible and being like, you know, nah, I don't know, this is it. You know, like if this person did it back in the 80s, I won't fucking do it in the 2020s, you know, like. Yeah. Hopefully.
Hopefully. As long as you're not living in somewhere like Florida.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so weird because I lived there for 2.5 years.
I know.
So like there's parts of me that feel so nostalgic for it and that want to go and like visit, but there's other parts of me that are like, stay away. Don't even.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I mean, like, I guess it's like, it's not as crazy, I guess, like when you really like think about it, because it's just like, okay, well, it's Florida and you know then it's got pockets of good, but like, you know, the whole state has to work together to like make these things possible, and here we are. Yeah, I have a really good friend who was living in like St. Petersburg for the last few months, and they finally like moved back to Rhode Island. And I was like, dude, like how is it? Because I don't know if I would want to live there or maybe even visit at this point. And they were like, in their specific like neighborhood, like in like St. Petersburg, it's like pretty queer and like was like pretty okay.
That's kind of what I've heard about that area.
But still, it's just like, damn, like I couldn't, it was kind of, I mean, like I kind of equated to like living in Philadelphia, but like being in Pennsylvania and like knowing that like, okay, like I can only be in Philadelphia. Got it. You know, yes. If I go anywhere else, maybe it, you know, wouldn't be the best. But yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break from our conversation for a minute to play some trivia before we move on to the rest of our conversation. And so how this is going to look is we're going to have 5 trivia questions every episode. I'm going to read it out, pause for a second, give you time to think about your answer, and then I'm going to tell you the answer, and then we're going to move on. We're going to do 5, and then we're going to finish our conversation. So get ready. Put your trivia cap on. Here comes, oh my God, trivia question number 1. What is the significance of November 20th to the transgender community? Now, these are going to be multiple choice, so I have 4 possible choices for you. Transgender Day of Visibility, National Coming Out Day, Transgender Day of Remembrance, or Non-Binary Awareness Day. So again, the question is, what is the significance of November 20th to the transgender community? Do we need a drum roll? The answer is C, Transgender Day of Remembrance. So November 20th every year. All right. So moving on, we're going to move to question number 2, at least blank. Number of U.S. states introduced anti-trans legislation in 2022. A, 11. B, 18. C, 27. Or D, 36. Again, the question is at least blank number of U.S. states introduced anti-trans legislation in 2022. The potential answers are 11, 18, 27, or 36. And the correct answer is at least 36. D was the correct answer. At least 36 U.S. states introduced anti-trans legislation in 2022. That is a lot. All right, moving on. Number 3. Who was the first country to introduce same-sex marriage? Your possible answers are A, Netherlands, B, United States of America, C, New Zealand, or D, Costa Rica. Again, the question was, who was the first country to introduce same-sex marriage? And your options are the Netherlands, United States, New Zealand, or Costa Rica. The correct answer is A, Netherlands. All right, we've got 2 more. Which year was the first gay and lesbian march on Washington? A, 1940. B, 1965. C, 1979. Or D, the year 2000. So again, which year was the first gay and lesbian march on Washington? 1940, 1965. 1979 or 2000. The answer is B. 1965 was the first gay and lesbian march on Washington. All right. And our very last, but certainly not least, trivia question for today, number 5, is what does the P stand for in Marsha P. Johnson? Someone we talked about in the very first episode of Oh My God in 2020. And so the 4 possible answers for that are A, power to the people, B, pinch hitter, C, pay it no mind, or D, pussy power? So again, the question was, what does the P stand for in Marsha P. Johnson? Marsha Power to the People Johnson, Marsha Pinch Hitter Johnson, Marsha Pay It No Mind Johnson, Marsha Pussy Power Johnson. All right, are you ready for your last answer? The answer to number 5 is the P stands for Marsha Pay It No Mind Johnson. That was C. So let me take this opportunity to ask you another question. I would love to know what topics and conversations are of interest to you, the listeners. So please let us know how you feel. Let us know how you did on this week's trivia on social media. As a reminder, that is at BoMyGodPod. And we're going to jump right back into our conversation. So I guess for context for people that weren't there a couple weeks ago when I saw you, Rose and I went down to LA for the weekend and we got to come see both you and your partner, Amanda. And that was amazing. And it was so good. That's the first time we've seen each other in person. Do we say in a decade?
About 10 years. Yeah, it's been. Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Yes.
Yes.
Especially since when we lived together in college, neither one of us were anywhere near like knowing
what we are.
We
now.
Are. Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Different page.
Completely.
But so, yeah. So the last time we got to go out for dinner, it was right after your birthday. We got to eat tacos, which were so good.
Yeah. Some tacos.
Yeah. And it rained the weekend.
Dude, right? Like, of course it would fucking rain. Like, y'all come down here for some nice sunny weather.
Just kidding.
It was freezing and raining. Oh, man. Let's see. So, has anything happened since then? What was that, like 3 weeks ago? 4 weeks ago? Not really, honestly. Nothing new.
No,
not one.
New.
Not one thing, yeah. just hanging out, you know, getting by,
existing.
I made one of the hockey teams.
That's awesome. That's something.
Yeah, well, okay, everyone made a team, to be clear, but still
you're on a team. That's awesome.
I'm sorry, I have to like open the whole door for my dog. Hold on. I'll be like, we're all open. So I do like hockey classes for adults at a local rink. And because it's like one of those things that like I always wanted to do when I was a kid, but like wasn't allowed to do. Had like played with the idea of like just trying like an adult league or whatever, like all these years. And then I found the Transwave hockey
yes.
team, which I feel like you know.
Yes.
Yes. And so I reached out to them and I was like, hey, like I've never played before. Can I join? What goes on? You know? And they were like, you might want to join like another league first, just because like, if you've never played before, like it's probably not going to be like a good experience. And I was like, fair, fucking fair. So I did some lessons and now I'm in like the super beginner league. I'm hoping that by like the fall, like once this league is over, I can actually join the Transwave team.
That would be really cool.
It'd be ideal. That is the only thing that has happened since.
No, but that actually, I feel like that's a really cool thing to have happened because I feel like there's a lot we could talk about. Like just the idea. I think that that's a realization I've been having recently. The idea of like these things we liked as kids, we can do them now.
Yeah.
Like, the things that we were like, yes. I always wanted to do this, but never got to. It's like, there's nothing stopping us. Now
exactly.
We can.
Exactly, dude. And like I think like what always kept me from just like taking the plunge and doing like ice hockey was the fact that like it's a little bit of an expensive sport. Like you gotta like buy all this equipment and then like, you know, like if there's a rink in your area that like does adult classes, like that's even pretty rare. I the stars aligned on this one for me. Like, it's meant to be. 10-minute train ride away to the rink. I'm like, this is perfect. They've got adult classes. They're this year they started the Tin League, which is the league that I'm in, which is like the super beginner league. It really just like stars aligned and like it was meant to be pretty much. But yeah, dude, I know it's just one of those things where like I remember growing up and like my sisters did figure skating, so like I would always go to the rink with them and everything, and was taking like lessons to like skate, but like I was like 3 years old, so like, you know, but I would always see like little hockey players and be like, mom, like, can I play hockey like that? If I'm gonna be here and I'm gonna like learn how to skate, can I do something that I want to do? Yes. And mom said no. So yeah, and it's always been just like something that was like in the back of my mind to like do if I ever had the chance to, and
here you are.
It happened. Here I am. Yeah. Pretty crazy because like I'm doing it with a bunch of like straight cis men who like don't know that I'm trans.
Yeah,
but like, okay. I don't think that I'm like, I definitely like pass, and like I don't, you know, straight cis men have no idea what's going on ever. Fair. So like they probably aren't even like thinking that.
Yeah.
But like I've never had to come out to any of them. So I'm just assuming that none of them know. And it's a time.
What an experience. It's like just the way that it should be, right? Like there's just like no like this person's doesn't, different yeah. by because you're yeah. not, but like,
yeah, but like, we have a different experience, yeah,
100%.
And it's like one of those things where it's like, it's kind of nice just to like be in an environment where like nobody knows and like nobody has, you know what I mean? It's just you're not like treated any different, because of that, or like. You know, it's not even brought up. You know, it's just like not even a thing, right? Which is nice. But also I like every time I go into the locker room, I'm like sweating. I'm like, all right. let me get out. Like, we just make sure, like, cause I don't know. It's a little nerve-wracking in like that sense. And then also like playing, like, I don't know, I grew up with like playing like women's sports, and like there is truly no difference besides the fact that like women's sports, I feel like it's more of like a calculated, like, okay, like we have a plan. We're going to go out there and this is the plan. We're going to fucking do it and we're going to score. And we're going to win. But like what I've seen and noticed in my short few months is that nobody likes to fucking plan. And it gets me. I'm like, okay, guys, if we're going to go out there and we're not going to have a plan, then we're not going to win. Do I make myself clear? Like, what the fuck? Yeah. So, like, that's, like, a little nerve-wracking is the fact that, like, going out there and just being like, what the fuck's going on? Like, I guess we're going to figure it out. Like, yeah. But it's overall happy that I'm doing it. It's a good time. But.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad that you're like fulfilling that inner child.
Yeah. Know? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what my year last year was kind of like about. Was just like, what did little Eric never get to do? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which that. Actually, just because we're talking about this, I'm gonna show this picture. Let me show this one. Because my aunt gave me all these pictures of me when I was a kid. that she had like laying around, and this is me at the ice rink in my Nike jumpsuit, just wishing that I was playing ice hockey.
Aww.
And
look at you now.
Look at me now. Yeah. So I have this like hanging up over here because anytime that I'm like too tired, but yeah. So that's my little reminder of like just do, I don't know, make my inner child happy.
Yeah, but it's so important. It's like healing from the beginning.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I think that that's like something that I feel like most trans people kind of struggle with is like not having the childhood that they like really wanted to have or like expected to have, or that like society kind of sees us expecting to have. You know what I mean? Like, because every time I like have to tell a story about when I was a kid, I'm like, oh yeah, right, change all these things, or just not tell this story. Like, you know, yeah. And I think it's important to like address that and like just try to nurture that a little bit.
Yeah. That's one of the things I think that really floors me too about like openly trans people back in the day, like with even less representation. Like, it took me so long with much more representation than then.
Oh yeah.
Just figure out for myself who I was. I just can't, to have the self-awareness when no one around you is in a similar position, or at least seemingly in a similar position, it's just incredible to me.
Yeah. To have, because like, even like, I think about like my story, and like, I don't know if like you also felt this way when you were like a toddler almost. Like, I remember being like, just being like a kid, you know, being like under 8 years old and just thinking like, oh, like I'm just gonna grow up to be a boy, and like not really thinking twice about it, you know, like just not having any kind of concept of like what any of that really is, you know, but still believing and thinking like, you know, like that's what I want to be when I grow up, you know, and like thinking about like myself as like a young person, and like there was obviously like in the 90s no representation that like we were watching at the very least, as like
at least not positive kids.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and like knowing that that thought was there, but like obviously like not seeing any representation or anything like that, and then like still taking so long after that to be like, no, this is probably what's going on. Like, you know? Like, yeah, it's, you know, and it makes you like kind of wonder, like, obviously like representation does matter, but it's just like, whether it's there or not, people are still going to do what they feel, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the idea that if people don't allow it to happen, it'll disappear, but it's not. It's like, you're just going to force it into hiding, and then someday it'll come right back out.
It'll
and
come so back. It's like, yeah. 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 It's just, it's crazy. Like, specifically like with all these like bands and everything. And it's just like, what, first of all, who hurt you to like want to do this to people? Because like, what does it fucking matter to you? You know, like, why do you care so much about me? Like, why are you so obsessed with me, government? Like,
what but the actually, fuck? I spent,
yeah.
So for work, I do stuff in 4 different states. And so I spent a few hours the other day reading through the 19 different current proposals and or new bills relating to just like, I mean, it's mostly anti-trans, but anti-LGBTQIA+ in general. In those 4 states, the 19 of them, which is far less than in some other areas, and like still kind of a little surprising where I'm at, but I guess not at the same time. So it's just like looking through the language and the things that they're saying and the verbiage, it's just like, what the fuck? Like, what are you thinking? Where is the logic? It's not like there's specific bills that are completely surrounding doing gender affirming surgeries on the genitals of children. Mm-hmm. Something that doesn't happen, that doesn't exist.
That's like so much of this is like, that like nobody's doing that. Like, you can't even get on hormone blockers until you're 16, and like people just like it just like proves that like there are no facts being read or being considered when any of these things are being proposed. Like, I saw a video the other day of like Marjorie Taylor Greene like saying something about like when she was in 11th grade and Joe Biden was apparently president. I'm like, bitch, what?
When she was in 11th
grade. And something about like a gun law being passed. And it's just like, what is any of this, you know? Like,
she is one of a kind. I don't have a lens that I can look at her through that makes any sense in any scenario.
right? Like, it's just like, what are you thinking, you know? And like, you have the gall to like say that in like such an official setting. Like, aren't you embarrassed about how like ridiculous you actually sound? Like, you what's going through your mind?
How is she an elected official?
Bro, that's what I'm saying. Like,
how is she even still in office? Or like George Santos, or like, I mean, we could probably be here all day talking. but seriously,
but
it's
still,
And then you look at all the time and energy and money that goes into those bills and into all of the effort it takes to write and research and whatever them, and just like how much public funding is just going down the drain for things that we're fighting that don't even exist.
Yeah. Don't even exist. Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. 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 Christ.
So let us play ice hockey or hockey and cheer and swim and whatever the hell else we want to do. Cause like,
Dude. Yeah. What are some things that you wanted to do as a child that you didn't get to do, just out of curiosity?
Well, so I got to do cheerleading as a child. So that's, I'm kind of cheating with the first one, but.
But like, you didn't get to do it as your true self. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah. And I did it under this understanding that once I reached a certain age, it was over and I couldn't do it ever again. And that I wouldn't be good enough to go and do it in college. So for cheerleading, not being able to do it as my authentic self, and also not getting to, like, not thinking there was a future in it, not thinking that it was something that I could do past high school. And like, I knew that there were scholarships and I knew that there were opportunities in college. And when I initially planned to go to college before I took a year off and then came to Penn State, in that period, I just like thought that I wouldn't be able to do it again. And there were so many opportunities at Penn State Berks and at Penn State main campus to join and participate. And I just didn't think that I would be able to, because I was so hard on myself and thinking that I wasn't. I think a lot of it for me, this is a totally different topic, but also related. A lot of it comes back to, I've, at that time period in my life, I really compared myself to women and girls and what they would be and should be and how I wasn't that. And so I was thinking that was like, I'm not good enough at being a girl, which now is a really funny thought process to look at, but yeah. So that's. And then what's funny is before I took that year off, my very first major that I really wanted to go to school for was audio and radio broadcasting. And then I like never saw a program for that again because Penn State didn't have one exactly like that. And at that point I was like, I'm an EMT. I'm just going to go down this medical route, and didn't even really like look explore. Into. Yeah. And so now it's funny that I come back to podcasting, like this radio.
Yeah.
Audio production. It's funny.
Yeah. That's like, it's crazy how like things that are meant to be kind of do just like come back around, you know, like if you didn't do it the first, come back around, you know, That's funny. That's great though.
Yeah, you know? It's funny too. I was just thinking about what we were talking about. One of the things we talked about when we saw each other in person, about how like I always saw myself living on the West Coast, but you didn't necessarily initially imagine yourself living on the West Coast. But now that you're there, I feel
I mean, like, I remember watching it was called like the Beaver Bunch or something. Like a YouTube channel, and they would like, there was like four or five people, and they would like make one for like almost every day of the week, like on video. And I would watch that shit like religiously. I like, and there was one person on there who lived in San Diego, and I was like fucking obsessed. I was like, dude, like this is what I want my life to be like. Like, I have no idea like what she did for work or like anything, but she like rode bikes and was just like super, like just super butch, and was just like just, I don't know. It was just something that like, I was like, well, like I want that to be my life like so bad. So living in California was something that, like, I kind of always, like, wanted to do, but, like, scary because it's like, oh, it's like so far away from home, like,
yeah,
you know. Yeah, and like living in Los Angeles specifically was never like, I don't know, something that I thought about. It was just like, oh, it's like a city in California, sure, you know. Yeah. But to be here now, like, it's honestly, I feel blessed that I'm here, so
especially now.
For yeah. So many reasons, but yeah, it's good. Good stuff. Highly recommend.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that I would have been able to do any of this living in Philadelphia. And even though I had a friend who I had in college at, well, I'm not gonna say where I went to school, but I had a friend at college who had recently like started transitioning, and like he went through like the William Way Center and everything, and it was just, I could have done it, but I think that I was just like so terrified in the moment to like accept that that was what I actually wanted to do, that I just put it further underneath my bed and just pushed it and shoved it and was like, I'm never gonna open that box ever. Yeah. But then moving out here, it was just like a fresh start, you know, like nobody really knew me at that point. You know, it was like I could just do whatever the fuck I wanted and like didn't matter. And I was so far away from my family that like that wasn't gonna be like a, I could make something up and be like, oh, I can't come home. Yeah. Like, but if I live 20 minutes away, that's, can't really do that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, I think one of the things that I heard a while ago, and I'm struggling to remember where it was that I heard it from, but was that you can't heal like where you were hurt.
Yes.
And just, I think that fits right into that notion of like, stepping away and being in a space where you can just be yourself and there isn't that pressure to be this other version. Because like, I know for me personally, it's like, if I play into this version of myself that I should be, then I know that I'll like, that's what's expected and wanted. And that's what is, I don't want to say like celebrated or like encouraged, because that's not quite the right, but you know, like fitting into that mold is the right thing to do in that society. Where we grew up. Versus living where we each live now in our prospective parts of the West Coast.
Yes.
But it's just there's much more individuality and just being yourself and just everyone kind of doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Which just works better.
To go into that, I think that like how people raise kids from where like we're from hasn't changed since like the 50s, but like out here like child raising has evolved a lot. So I think that like even in like if I go to a place where like I know there's gonna be a lot of families or something, I'm not gonna feel awkward, I'm not gonna feel weird, like I'm gonna be like, I don't care, I'll wear my shirt that says transsexual, not care, because like the families here understand that like people like us exist and that like you live amongst them, so like, you know, like it's not worth it to try to like hide your kid away from something that's like not dangerous, that's not gonna like negative, like they don't fucking care, like they're not looking at me, like, you know. And I think that even just that makes being queer out here just a world difference than being queer in, you know, in the East.
You're not walking down the street and every single person on that street is looking at you because you are different than them. Presumably appear different than them.
It's definitely a better environment to foster something like us.
And just to be able to explore your own individuality and like look intrinsically and see who you are and kind of figure that out without everyone around you seemingly being the same person following the same pattern in society.
Yes.
It's like,
oh my Even like I even felt that, like, just being like butch, there was only like two or three slots of butch that I could like fall into, and even that's too much. It's too much stress. Like,
yeah,
that was you know, it's like, but out here there, it's just such like a cornucopia of queer people. Like, I think I said that last time too, but like, that is the only way that I can explain queerness on the West Coast. Like, it's a little intimidating because, like, I feel like dressing the way that I do and like leaving the house, like looking how I look, like I don't read as queer, which is like a little tough for me because I'm like, damn, like I don't, you know, like I want to be read as queer because that's what I am. But it's, I think that's now where like the pressure comes in. Like, oh man, do I look queer enough to like go out to like a queer bar? Like,
well, you know, especially, I don't want people, like, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
You say, especially like coming from the mindset of having to be like the first queerness that we kind of accepted individually, both of us, I think, is that like, okay, I'm more of like, I'm not a feminine presenting queer woman when we thought that that's who we were. So it's like moving into that box, it was like you're existing as yourself was not the type of, like, we weren't female, but we were being at the time compared to other females. So it was kind of like, it was very apparent from the outside that we were queer.
Yes.
And then now fitting into the box of what presents as masculine, it's like, yeah, what you're saying, like you're no longer like just walking outside and it being like obvious, oh yeah, that person is some flavor of the rainbow.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, man. It's crazy times.
I understand that though, because I can relate to the walking out in public and being afraid or being like having some anxiety about being interpreted as like a cis couple or like just the straight.
Yeah.
And it's, oh, like, my God.
Yeah.
No, that's not. That's not the vibe.
Not what's happening here. Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know. I think like specifically like when me and Amanda like go out anywhere, like I don't know. Cause I feel like my mannerisms and things aren't necessarily like super masculine. Like, I talk with my hands a lot. I love to have a good giggle. Like, I don't know. It's, you know, like, I don't change any aspect of myself. So, like, I don't know. I'm just going on vibes when I go out. I'm like, God, I just hope that, like, we don't look too straight. I don't know.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. We try to go for, like, an alternative looking kind of couple, but like, what are you gonna do? You know?
I think it goes back to what we said earlier. You know your own kind.
Yeah, exactly. But like, also mortifying if a straight person doesn't pick up on that.
Fair. Yes.
Yeah.
That's like, so day job, I've been working there since 2018, and I realized that I was trans, and started taking testosterone and like changed what I went by and all of that in 2020. Mm-hmm. So it's like the people that have been there since 2018, they like know me as me before and now. Mm-hmm. And then there's people that have been there since that like have no idea. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like this weird mix of, I never quite know what I'm going to get. If it's like someone that thinks I'm cis or someone that knows or someone that thinks me and me before are two totally separate people. Cause there's that whole,
Oh my God.
Especially with like the whole COVID era of not like being in the office and seeing each other. There are people that think I'm two totally separate people.
That is hilarious. That is, it's just like, I don't know how to put this. Cause like, I feel like looking at myself now in the mirror, like obviously like I look different, but like not that different. Like you could still recognize me like as
100%
who I've, you know,
as like, someone who hadn't seen you in person in 10 years. Yes.
Yeah. It's right. Exactly. Like, it's just, I don't know, that is wild to me. It's like how much like lack of awareness do people really have that they would think that like someone pre-transition and like mid post transition, whatever, like is two different people. That's crazy. That's like, wild.
One of my friends at work at an all hands openly talked about being a lesbian, and it was the first time that she had ever like talked about this. And I like sent her a message later and was like, that was so like amazing. Like, I'm proud of you for doing that. And like, it's amazing that you felt comfortable to do that. She's like, well, I took a note from you when you came out as trans to everyone whenever. And I was like, when I said that, I just assumed everyone already knew. I didn't know I was coming out. I thought I was just like me, blah, blah, blah. So it's really
fun. Yeah. Oh, man. Jesus Christ. It's.
Oops. I thought everyone knew.
Right. Well, that's another thing, right? Because it's like, I don't know. I go out into the world just not even like assuming that everybody knows, but like just being like, I don't know, like they probably know, right? Like I, you know, I'm just a little goofball. Like they probably fucking know. Like
just a little goofball.
Yeah. Like there's no, you know, like whatever. But then you like talk to somebody and you're like, oh shit, you don't know. That's crazy. and then it's just like, I don't know. It's like, I get like annoyed. I'm like, like, how do you not know? Come on. Like,
isn't that obvious?
Yeah, right? Like, Jesus. Yeah. Like, we did a, what is it called? Like an unconscious bias, like seminar thing, you know? Yeah. Cause like everyone, you know, they do all that kind of stuff, like yearly in California. So like we had like the first of four meetings or whatever have you. And then there were breakout groups, of course. And they had like questions and it was all like, tell us about a time that like you've experienced like discrimination or like, you know, and I'm like, I literally can't not come out to these strangers. And like, that's a little bit problematic. Like, okay. Like, yeah, I understand. Like you obviously, these are very, very important conversations to have, but also like, I have to risk coming out like or not participating. Like that's a little icky in my book, you know.
Yeah, agreed.
Especially now that I'm saying that out loud, I'm gonna bring that up to my manager because perhaps something that's like not, and like obviously like I don't really have a problem with it, but like I don't know, like it's with how things are going these days, like I don't know, even like being on a Zoom with somebody, like I don't feel comfortable being like, hey, I've never met you before, and like you're just a straight white dude who probably thinks that I'm also just a straight white dude, and like that is the farthest thing from the truth, besides us both being white. But that's the only thing we have in common, you know. Like it's
You know? And you said you don't do anything. You're advocating right there.
Well, just because.
just because.
Like I don't know. I think like when it was happening, I was just like, oh God, like I have to participate. So here we go. And didn't really think about like, oh, this is a little bit of an issue for any queer person, honestly, because like, you know, anyway. Like what keeps you going? Like what's the motivation to keep pushing on despite everything going on in the climate, the social climate, and like trans legislation? Honestly, dude, I don't know. It's tough. I think like at this point I've just become like numb to it. Like I don't want to say like become numb to it, because like obviously like it's something that's just like so outrageous, and like it's hurtful and mind numbing because it's all just so fucking stupid. Um I don't really know. I don't really know what keeps me going. It's just the fact that, like, I know what makes me happy, and this makes me happy, and I'm not hurting anybody. So, like, I should be fucking fine. Like,
yeah,
that's it. You know, like, I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing because it makes some dumbass mad. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, this would be like a really terrible time for any of us to give up, though, when things are so terrible. I think thinking about like how we were talking about like the elders in the community, I think thinking about the struggles and absolute nonsense that they all went through, they didn't go through all of that for us just to give up at this point. Like, that's, we like have to keep going. It's, you know, maybe this isn't like a good way to like think about this, but like my great grandmother like came over here from Lithuania while it was like under Russian rule, like way back in the day. And like, I always think like, man, she did not come over here like with her older brother to get dropped off in Philadelphia with not knowing how to speak English, not knowing anything about anything, just having like an address and a name in her pocket to like,
damn,
find, to have a family and to keep it going. Like, I, she didn't do all that'd be such like a fuck you if like I just gave up being happy or whatever, you know. And I think that like, if we can all just kind of think of our trans elders as our great great grandmothers and grandfathers who fought so hard to get to us here where we are right now, like, we can't give up, you know. And it's gonna be shitty and it's gonna be really fucking hard, but like, we can't be quiet. We can't just let this fucking happen.
Yeah.
And it's not gonna happen. We're not gonna let it happen, you know.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's powerful. I love that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know, man.
No big deal.
No big. But like, I don't know. I think it's important for like, for trans people to like, I don't know. It's just, it's hard, you know? It's so hard to like keep going and to like, not even like, I think we talked about this last time a little bit, not even like, this is like a bad word to kind of use to like describe this, but like, like convince yourself that like, this is okay. But like, to just, we've been so conditioned to be one way and to think one way and to be like, there's no other option. There's no other possibility. Like, you will, this is what you have to like make work. And like, just to convince ourselves to be like, no, like, that's not true. Like, because it's not true. Like, to really embrace the fact that like, there are other options, there are other ways to live, and like, it's all okay, it's all fine, because, you know, it's just, you know, like, yeah, it's all fucking fine. Like, it's, I don't know, I don't know where I was really going with that.
No, but seriously, it's sometimes hard to like affirm that within yourself, especially when you're like unsure, like, didn't always know this was a thing. So it's sometimes, it can be, imposter syndrome is a bitch. It can like,
yeah,
no joke. Yeah. So it, having that, cool. Yeah, seriously, I think that's so relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when like, it's one of, like, I know, at least like for me, like, it was me, like, God, do I feel trans enough to like go on T? Do I feel trans enough to like, you know, get top surgery or whatever? And then when I stopped thinking about like, am I this enough, and just started thinking about, okay, like, well, like, what makes me fucking happy? Like, okay, not having boobs makes me happy. Glad I did it.
Yep.
Like, period. You know, like, being on TV makes me happy because I like what it does to my body. Like, you know, it's just, do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
Don't hurt anybody else, but do what makes you happy. Like, yes. That's it. Like, you know, yeah. But I think like, specifically right now, is do what makes you happy in like all senses of the word. Like, do what your inner child would have loved you to have, to be doing, or to have done, or to have a memory with, like, you know, you have to like foster all stages of yourself when you're trans. Like,
yeah, you really do. There's a lot of parenting yourself and figuring out how you are despite what you thought you should be. On that note, it's not on that sheet of paper, and I know we've talked about this before, but I'm going to ask you again, what do you wish you could tell little baby Eric?
God. just to keep going, you know, just to keep going, like, do what makes you happy. Really, nobody else matters. Just do your own thing. Which I feel like is kind of what I did when I was a kid. So maybe just like, just keep doing it. You'll figure it out. It'll be fine, you know? I feel like I had a lot of anxiety as a kid. So like, if I could say something to ease that anxiety, I would. But in this moment, I have no idea what that would be. Something like that.
Amazing.
Just be happy.
All right. So last season, we introduced our regular affirmations, and I received a lot of great feedback about that. So we're going to continue to do them. If you could please sit yourself in a comfortable position. If you're driving or something like that, please be mindful of the road and your attention. And for safety, if you're operating a motor vehicle or other heavy machinery, please do not close your eyes. But take a deep breath. And if you're comfortable, please do close your eyes. And I want you to repeat after me out loud if it's safe, if you're comfortable to do so. Okay, ready? Here we go. Please repeat after me. It is not too late to be who I truly am. I love my inner child. We are one with each other. Okay, we're going to say this one more time. It is not too late to be who I truly am. I love my inner child. We are one with each other. Okay, take one more deep breath and exhale. And that's that for today's affirmation. Thank you so much for listening to this episode all the way through. Please remember to check any episodes you may have missed from seasons 1 through 3 before getting moving all the way into season 4, just to ensure that you don't miss out. You don't have to listen in any particular order. You can pick the topics that interest you the most, but there's something different on each one. So thanks again so much, Eric, for joining us and sharing your authentic self with us, sharing your experiences and insights, and dropping some life lessons.
Oh, you know.
And some book references and
YouTube show
references.
Oh, my God. Okay, I don't think that show exists anymore, just so we're clear. But in 2009, it did.
If you don't follow Eric already, you can find him on social media at Little Wojo 310, LILWOJO 310. To recap, what I am personally taking out of today's conversation is that no matter, even though I already know this, it never hurts to be reminded, because I feel like it's one of those things that escapes from my rational brain sometimes, and that is that it's okay to be where you are and not need to be exactly where you want to be, and where you want to be might be different later. And what you have to do is just look introspectively and be who you're comfortable being and who you feel like you are. And doing anything for anyone else will only really result in you wanting to change and do things back for yourself eventually. Because that's, yeah. So that's that deep episode. You can check us out at www.bohmygod.com. Follow us on social media at bohmygodpod. If you listen on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. We appreciate the feedback. Love you and catch you next time. The overturnment of over tournament. Oh my God.